This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
I haven't heard that song in a while. I haven't heard that piece of production in a while, but I forgot. Yeah, that guy, that was way early in my tenure here at the network, and he called up and he said it multiple times. I have a confession to make. I listened to you for the whole night. I listened to you. You're a girl, and I listened to you for the whole night. Man, we've had some great callers over the years. I know routinely we'll take, a week or two where we get a bunch of calls, and then we'll go stretches where we don't. And if you've listened to me for any stretch of time, you know that I'm not a huge fan of caller-driven radio. Don't take it personally. It's not about you. It's just my personal preference. When I listen to radio, I prefer to listen to the host, or I prefer to listen to whatever audio they're sharing with me. When a caller is on the air, I right away change to a different channel or a different network. It's for the most part, people will tell you that's not why they listen to the radio. And so for the, and not to mention, I was trained in non-caller driven radio. So my previous network, we did not take any calls at all. And so I remember when I got this job, the boss who hired me, Mark Chernoff, who I love dearly, he and I had to find a compromise, and he wanted me to keep using the phone number and to take whatever calls came. And I told him, well, I'll take phone calls as long as they're on topic. Because I don't think there's anything worse for a host than you're in the middle of a great segment. You've got audio. You've got an opinion. You're driving the show forward. You're giving it your best. And then you have a caller that you take right in the middle who's talking about something completely different. Like his favorite game from 1962. Like it just, it can be a showstopper, if you will. And it can really take the show in a completely different direction. So we kind of went back and forth and we compromised a bit. I think the nature of our show, though, doesn't always invite callers, which is okay. I'm glad you're listening. I know you're listening. I get routinely posts on both Twix and Facebook about how long you've been listening. I've never called. I've never reached out to you before, but I've been a faithful fan, a faithful listener. Those are my favorites. I don't need you to let me know, though it's good to hear from you, but I don't need you to let me know. I believe, and I am fully trusting that you are out there and you are paying attention. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, we'll get to some of your responses. One athlete who sucked you into watching a sport, a league. Maybe one athlete who got you to watch an event that you never would have watched otherwise. Love to hear from you. Twix is at A-Law Radio, or our show account, which is at Amy After Hours. And then on our Facebook page, easy to find. But maybe, just maybe, if you were more like Franklin, our friend who... Did he win? He says he won the Survivor pool going back to last fall, our NFL Survivor Island. And every single day for the last how many months? He has posted multiple times on our Facebook page wondering where his Survivor prize is. He's persistent.
It's on the way.
It's on the way. I finally was able to write back to him. Producer Jay told me it's on the way to you, Franklin. Thank you for your commitment, your dedication. It's on the way. The check's in the mail. Oh, no, no, not like that. 855-212-4227. One athlete that has sucked you into a particular sport or league or event that you would not have watched otherwise. I just really quickly want to say thank you to a faithful listener, Donna, who sent me this chart. I had not seen this. This was posted by, let's see, a play-by-play announcer. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know his name, Pat Boylan. He's the play-by-play for the Pacers, but he's also the play-by-play for the Indiana Fever. And he's a personality. He's an announcer, a host, and a personality in Indianapolis for the two basketball teams. He got these numbers and posted them on Monday. The top 9 games in terms of fan attendance in the WNBA this year have all featured one of the worst records in the league. The number of people who say to me, if the Fever don't start winning, people are going to stop watching. Oh, no, I don't think that's the case. And actually, the more controversial it is, the more people are going to tune in. Top 9 games in fan attendance this season, and it's a young season in the WNBA, they've all featured the Fever. And actually, half of them are on the road. Right, so people who couldn't get to Indianapolis but want to watch Caitlin Clark in their own market. Tops on the list, the LA Sparks. We were just talking about that with our friend Michael Duarte an hour ago. He said he'd never covered a WNBA game in his life, but he was assigned for his host station, NBC LA. He was assigned to go cover the Sparks and the brouhaha to see what it was all about with the Fever visiting. 19,100 people there to watch the Sparks and the Fever. Next on the list, 18,340 people when the Fever were on the road at the Seattle Storm. Next on the list, the two games that the Fever have played at Barclays Center against the Liberty. Each of them attracting well more than 17,400 fans. Then the Indiana Fever hosting the Liberty, and the Indiana Fever hosting the Connecticut Sun, and the Indiana Fever hosting the Chicago Sky. All of them sellouts, 17,274 people. That's the sellout number for the Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Indiana Fever hosting the Sparks, 16,000 people. Indiana Fever hosting the Storm, 15,000 people. Top 9 games for fan attendance in the league this year. I disagree with Angel Reese. I think many of you do disagree with her when she says that making it all about Caitlin, and I don't disagree with what she's saying, is that there are other talented players, there are other incredible teams in this league. Hey, it's not just a one-person league. But for her to say no one watches the WNBA for one person, no one watches the league simply because of one athlete, there are all kinds of numbers and all kinds of people who would say that is not the case for me. I'm certainly watching because of Caitlin Clark. It's After Hours here on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, I don't love the whole women are catty, these women are jealous type of thing. I mean, there's certainly professional jealousy. I get that. And there is... there's something to that for all of us as human beings. I do think that there's the natural tendency to ask the question of why Caitlin Clark. I mean, I've asked that question of so many people. Val Ackerman, who is the commissioner of the Big East, her former coach, Lisa Bluter, Lindsey Gottlieb, the coach at USC. I keep asking people why Caitlin Clark, and there's theories, there's reasons, there's ideas. Nobody really knows why she's been selected as the chosen one for the WNBA. She's got a fantastic game. She's got a great attitude. She's dynamic. She's passionate. Her team was winning. Her teammates loved her. She comes from Iowa. I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows why we get attracted to people that we do? But I've compared it to Steph Curry because he was this skinny little kid who could shoot the lights out from anywhere in the gym. This weird anomaly from Davidson, for heaven's sakes. So I think there's some of that. It's kind of the novelty of what? From where? Who? Oh, wait a minute. He's a former NBA player's son, you know? Like, it's an interesting story, right? Just, I love it, but I can't fully explain it. And I'm not sure everybody else can either. And so some people will rage against the machine. And Angel thinks it's unfair that it should be all about Caitlin.
A lot of us have done so much for this game, and Kennedy has been here before, obviously, but there are so many great players in this league that have deserved this for a really, really long time, and luckily, it's coming now.
She's not wrong about the great players in the league, and we've talked about that. That's kind of the idea behind the question, why Caitlin, why now, is because there are some incredible players in the WNBA. I don't know how many people would tell you that Caitlin's the best player in the league. I can't say that. I wouldn't say that. There are better all-around players. There are players who have adapted a lot better now. There are players who are champions and MVPs. She may get there, but that's not where she is right now. I think the potential is sky high. But when Angel says, we deserve it, the players deserve it. See, the thing is, I don't know what we deserve. Who deserves what? And who decides who deserves what, right? That's the beauty, but also probably a little bit of the frustration of living in a country like the United States of America. We have a bazillion options when it comes to our free time and our discretionary income. And we are attracted by winners. We're attracted by things that go viral. We're attracted by headlines, video clips. We're attracted and dazzled by people who do accomplish feats that we've never seen accomplished before. And that's Caitlin. And so, yeah, there's some pretty incredible athletes at every level. There's incredible athletes in every sport. But why does one quarterback get more attention than another? Right? Well, I mean, sometimes it's situational. Sometimes it is about the winning and a meteoric rise. Sometimes it's about money. Sometimes it's about social media presence. Sometimes it's about looks or charisma. Do you remember Odell Beckham Jr.? Honestly, wasn't he famous for one play, one moment his rookie season on Monday Night Football? All of a sudden, he was the biggest name in sports. And producer Jay, I'm sure you remember that moment. I can still see the catch in my mind's eye. I've seen it a bazillion times. I think it might be safe to say, other than the Super Bowl win and the touchdown in the Super Bowl, that was the pinnacle of his career. That one catch. He went viral for other things. OBJ went viral for proposing to the kicking net.
Fighting the kicking net,
right,
yeah.
Having temper tantrums on the sidelines. Certainly became a guy who had to battle his physical body and all the injuries. But he became uber famous for one moment on Monday Night Football where he is fading toward the front corner, well, the front pylon, the corner of the end zone and the goal line. And he reaches back. Not only is he prone, but his arm is actually bending him backward and one-handed hauls in a touchdown catch from Eli Manning. That moment catapulted him to superstardom. And I'm not saying he wasn't a really good receiver, but I think it's fair to assess OBJ's career like this. He didn't meet his potential because of the injuries, because of some of the locker room stuff. He did not ever meet the potential that we thought he would based on that one catch. So yeah, who knows why people are attracted to an athlete or a celebrity or, I mean, sometimes there really isn't a true explanation for it. But I do know we like winners. We like to be dazzled. We like videos that go viral.
It's funny. It is a strange example with Odell because he didn't win as a Giant and he also was a jerk. I mean, he really was. By the time he was out of there and they traded him, Do you remember the Josh Norman game against the Panthers where he was like literally launched himself full like a human torpedo at Josh Norman's head?
Yeah,
that was just he was out of control, Odell Beckham, for a while there, and he wasn't winning, and the Giants weren't winning, and yet we still loved him. Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, he wore out his welcome in a couple different places.
Got that right.
Right.
Yeah.
So Cleveland, same way. He and Baker Mayfield were never on the same page. You can blame whoever you want. There's always more to the story. It's never just about one person. But I do know that when he got to Los Angeles, Sean McVay was determined that he was going to figure out a way to utilize his skills. And we got to see that kind of that blip, that flash for what, 3 months? Maybe not even 3 months. I can't remember exactly when he was traded. He did get his Super Bowl catch and then promptly tore his Super Bowl touchdown, which was his seventh with the Rams, and promptly tore his ACL. And then had to sit out another full year. And we kind of had the chatter about him potentially going to the Giants, but he wasn't ready. He wasn't healthy. He spent last year with the Ravens, right? And now is with the, is it Dolphins? Shoot, where is he now?
He just went to the Dolphins.
Yeah. So he never fully realized all the potential that was captured in that one touchdown reception on Monday Night Football that you can probably see in your mind's eye even as I'm talking about it. Who knows why we're attracted to what we're attracted to? We just are. And I don't know what we deserve or don't deserve. And I understand what Angel's trying to say. There are other great players in this league. It's not all about Caitlin. But for a lot of fans, it is about her. And I hope that they like the product and they stick around. But right now, it is about her. Also, some of you have said to me, think about all the people who started watching the NFL this year and the Chiefs this year just because of Taylor Swift. Different example, but truth. Truth. There are millions of young Swifty fans out there who didn't know Travis Kelce from President Obama. Well, okay, that's a bad example. From President Reagan. They wouldn't have known Travis Kelce from Ronald Reagan. And now they do. Now they're diehard Chiefs fans because of Taylor Swift. I thought Michael Duarte made a great point too. Messi has drawn a whole lot of new fans to MLS simply because he's Messi. Remember the crazy excitement and the sellout crowds and the buzz around the MLS last year when he was participating with Miami in that in-season tournament, whatever that was. And the fans were buying tickets like nobody's business. I mean, but between he and Taylor Swift, they were the stories of 2023. So sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. We just, yeah, social media changes a lot too. While we're talking about receivers, though, I mentioned the market in the wake of this Justin Jefferson deal with $110 million fully guaranteed, $35 million average annual value. Our friend Mike Ross, who is in the scouting department, Mark on NFL Network, he was kind of looking ahead to what the JJ contract means for the wide receiver market.
For these other guys.
Doors take us to summers away. Or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
They're looking at it as, okay, if my skill set and my value is comparable. CeeDee Lamb, yeah, you can argue who's better, then you're going to be in that range. It's not like quarterbacks where it's the next guy up is going to get paid and get paid more no matter if they're better or not. I think there's still more of that notion of, okay, you still have to be somewhat comparable to Justin Jefferson or Tyreek Hill. Yes, you've proven you're in that group, whereas a T. Higgins, let's say, or IU, their value for teams may not be as much, and you might pass on paying them all of this money that JJ just got, and we know that these other guys will, CD will definitely get. So I think there's still a little bit of, okay, you still determine the value of how good these players are compared to that guy that's going to get it, as opposed to like the quarterbacks where whoever's up, just pay those guys and they're going to get paid no matter what.
Mm. So Mark Ross doesn't believe that this will set the market for wide receivers moving forward, but does believe that teams will be keeping an eye on the JJ contract in light of their own receivers that deserve to be paid, and maybe can compare stats type of thing, can compare impact, the relationship with the quarterback, the reliance on that wide receiver one. So it may not be automatically the next non-QB break the bank NFL history. Like it is with quarterbacks. He said it's automatically that way if you're a QB1. Although, I don't know. Daniel Jones got a ton of money, but he didn't get the next biggest contract. So I still think there's an upper echelon of quarterbacks that will get the next big thing. Trevor Lawrence likely will. I mean, coming off last season. Jared Goff for sure. He did get paid. And so now that kind of reset the market.
But he's not the highest.
No, not the highest, but top five, right? I'd have to go back
probably,
and look.
But
yeah. So I think if you're talking about a quarterback, and this is not a knock on Tua, I think Tua is a terrific leader, and I think he's a great quarterback. But are they likely to pay him $55 million a year? I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned. So we'll see what happens. But I still say there's an upper echelon of quarterbacks when it comes to the guys who just automatically get the next big contract. All right, taking your responses, and they've been great. Thank you for the info and the intel that you're sending. One athlete who drew you to a particular sport or league or event that you would have never watched otherwise. On our Show Twix account at Amy After Hours, and then also on our Facebook page, Jay. Do you know what Friday is? Are you ready? I thought of you. Of course, I thought of you.
I'm ready.
National Donut Day.
I knew it was a National Something Day. National Donut Day.
And Krispy Kreme is giving away free donuts. No purchase necessary. You don't have to buy coffee to get a free donut on Friday, National Donut
Day. Where do we acquire those?
Well, I've got one near me in Jersey. Do you have one near you?
I do not.
Oh. You might have to make a detour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
So muddy and so heavy, you know, conditions, very cold, very, you know, balls were not going on anywhere, so you wouldn't get too many free points with a serve, so you have to work every single point of the night.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's not been an easy road for Novak Djokovic in his quest to win a 25th Grand Slam singles title, which will be the most all-time men or women. Not only has he had a tough season to this point, hasn't made a final in any tournament that he's played in to this point now, with the French Open final still ahead of all of them this weekend, he can change that trend, but he was 0-3 in semifinals getting to Paris. Also has not felt himself. He's been open about that, just not felt like he normally does. And at 37 years old, many of you think father time is catching up with him. Except now, despite the late hours, and remember his last match ended at 3:30 a.m. local time. And he and Coco Gauff and others are among those who are bringing attention to the fact that this completely changes an athlete's routine. But despite back-to-back five setters ending late at night, he's still standing against guys who are 15 years younger. And presumably, not that they're in better shape, but just they've got more energy at 22.
Father Time's a dick.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So here's what we know about our friend Novak Djokovic. He wins another five-set victory, even though he's down a set and a break in this match, meaning it was quite a rally. So he took the first set over Francisco Cerundolo, 6-1, and then lost the next set, 5-7, as well as the third set, 3-6. He's on the brink in set number four, meaning he's down, and his opponent, who's ranked number 23 in the world, is about to take him out. Already has the break in hand when Djokovic battles back. Part of what he was dealing with in this fourth round match is a knee injury. So injured it Monday, needed some anti-inflammatories to be able to finish this five-setter, but did say that as the match went on, he started to feel more and more like himself, which is good news. So again, he survived, but don't know how he's going to feel come time for the quarterfinals.
The whole fifth set was almost without any pain, which is great, you know? But then the effect of the medications will not last for too long. So I'll see, I guess we'll do some more screening and tests and checkups tomorrow as well.
So he said the knee's kind of giving him trouble. It's been a little bit bulky for a couple of weeks, but then tweaked it in the second set. So remember, he won the first set handily, but tweaked it in the second set and then struggled with it for a while. Took a medical timeout. A couple times had a trainer visit him, a doctor, and these are available to the athletes. Novak then takes the medicine and indicates that it makes him feel better, but obviously at some point the effect of the meds will wear off. He actually said after the match that he considered retiring, wondering whether not retiring from tennis, but retiring from the match, wondering if maybe he shouldn't continue. And so he's expected to have more scans on Tuesday, and I know it's already about lunchtime, I guess late morning. Late morning in Paris right now. Yeah. So maybe he's already had them because he's got a battle against the number 7 seed Casper Ruud in the quarterfinals on Wednesday. So this is a tough match and he's just come through back-to-back five setters. So how do you manage this the rest of the way?
The good thing about the slam is that you have a day between that will allow hopefully the healing process to happen more efficiently for me. That's it. I don't know what will happen, you know, tomorrow or after tomorrow, if I'll be able to step out on the court and play. You know, I hope so. Let's see what happens.
My goodness. Djokovic, Joker, ranked number one in the world, but needs to get to the final to keep that number one ranking. He would drop out of that number one spot in the world if he doesn't make the final again, because his 2024 has been pretty rough so far. But at 37 years old, he's just gone through back-to-back matches that lasted nearly 5 hours each. That's a lot. And as I said, he's, in one case at least, the match went until 3:30 in the morning. And his next opponent, if the name is familiar to you, it was Ruud, who lost to Djokovic in the French Open final last year, and then the year before lost to Rafael Nadal. So Ruud has some success in Paris, just hasn't been able to break through to win the title yet, but has been knocking on the door. So this should be a very tough opponent. I suppose like any athlete in his mid-30s or her mid-30s, you could say that pain is just part of the equation.
I had, you know, muscle tears and different things, and played with that during the tournament. I'm not the only one. You know, many players have played with different injuries. There are medications, anti-inflammatories, stuff that you can do. The adrenaline, of course, that kicks in, that helps you go through the tournament.
I'm rooting for him. I don't know how many more opportunities he'll get. Although, even in saying that, he's still one of the best players on the planet. It's just that now you've got guys who are 15 years younger, who have more energy, and themselves are hungry and are coming after you, right? You still have the target on your back. And because you're Novak Djokovic, you're everybody's Super Bowl, if that makes sense. You get everybody's best shot. That's what it's like to be on top. Everybody's coming for you. It happens in team sports too. So I'm rooting for him. I would love to see history. I just think it's astounding that when Roger Federer got to 20 Grand Slams, there are a lot of people who thought that was it. That would be the number. Nobody would ever eclipse that. And then Rafael Nadal, he gets to 22. And then Joker, around everything that happened with COVID and being denied entry to some tournaments because of his vaccination status, all that jazz. He's obviously gotten older, and yet here he is knocking on the door.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader
doesn't want to hear that again. I want to hear it again. He might retire if he got to 25. Who knows? Well, what more do you have to prove? Rafael Nadal is unlikely to get another one. Now, he might, but he's battling his own body and just is not the same. Hasn't played the kind of tennis that he needs to be back in form. Similar to Tiger Woods. At any given moment, he could capture lightning in a bottle again and be the best player in the world, but he's constantly battling body parts that have been sewn back together or held together with metal plates and have multiple surgeries on them. So, yeah, it's so impressive then when you think about Tom Brady or, gosh, the reaction from Quinnen Williams last week when someone told him that Aaron Rodgers was going into year 20. Yeah, this is fantastic. I mean, this is what younger guys, Anthony Edwards said Mike Conley was old as you know what. I mean, this is the perspective because some of these guys can't imagine playing as long as, say, an Aaron Rodgers in 20 seasons.
20 years?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Aaron, 20 years in the NFL?
Yeah.
Man. Ain't that running back, the number zero, is 20 years old?
Yeah.
So he's been in the NFL as long as he's been alive. That's crazy, huh? I got a joke with him about that.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, some of the guys that played with Tom Brady at the end of his career, not only did they grow up wanting to be Tom Brady or they grew up watching football because of Tom Brady, but some of them weren't even alive when Tom Brady started playing in the NFL. I mean, that's crazy. We forget that the average pro career in football, in hockey, and in basketball isn't even 5 seasons. And here you got guys that are playing into their 40s.
I think I'll be able to throw pretty good to him, about 60 or 70.
No, please don't. I mean, yay, but please don't. Also, you think about Serena Williams, Venus Williams, how late they played in their careers, and in Serena's case, coming back after having a baby. And so it's astounding, the longevity and the tenure. And I am rooting. I am rooting for him to get number 25. I don't want to say I don't care what happens after that, but I'm personally invested in Novak getting 25 just because I love to see history. By the way, our friend Christopher Clary, as we're talking about it here on After Hours, just retweeted his post about Djokovic and the comeback, but the knee injury as well. So you could always check it out if you want to at Christoph Clary. He joined us from Paris Live last week, and he's my foremost authority on tennis, especially the Grand Slams. 855-212-4227. We're going to get to some of your answers about a sport or event, a league you watch because of one athlete. Just one.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are asking you, what one athlete, what single athlete caused you to start watching a league, maybe a sport altogether, an event that you wouldn't have watched otherwise? Maybe you never watched it before that. For me, it's Tiger Woods, and I've seen that answer for some of you. I never watched a single golf tournament. I thought it was boring as heck watching golf on TV. This is obviously before I was in the business. Never watched a golf tournament until Tiger Woods. But once he came on the scene, I actually watched a couple of junior golf tournaments. Ask me how many I've watched since Tiger Woods golfed in those. None. I watched a couple of junior golf tournaments and then watched almost every single tournament he played in the prime of his career. And I still watch now because of work, but it's clear it's not the same without Tiger. Golf still is missing Tiger Woods. I bought tickets to go to golf tournaments so I could walk around and be part of the galleries that followed Tiger. And then after I worked in the business, I would get credentials to go. So that's an extreme example for me. There are others, and I'm really enjoying reading your examples. On Twix at Amy After Hours, and then on our Facebook page too, we'll get to some of your examples. But I like that you guys are giving me all kinds of different sports and the athletes that sucked you in. A popular answer, Mike Tyson with boxing. Oh, poor Mike Tyson. You know, he was supposed to battle Jake Paul. Battle, I'm using that term loosely. He was supposed to take on Jake Paul until he had some type of a flare-up with an ulcer, so an emergency. And Jake Paul is hoping for a rescheduled date for the fight, has spoken to Mike Tyson.
He says he still is going to knock me out, and I bought myself some time. So Mike is still talking over there.
He's actually pretty bummed out, right? I mean, he's concerned for Mike, who isn't. He's an icon if you're a boxer. But Jake Paul, he recognizes, or at least thinks he recognizes, that this is a disappointment, not just to him, but to fans as well.
I think this fight's going to change the world, and I turn all my L's into W's. That's a motto I live by. The universe makes no mistakes, so let's see what's in store. But sorry this didn't work out. To everyone, the fans, love you guys.
Yeah, see, I think he has a little more time to dream big over all of his L's turning into W's.
I think this fight's going to change the world.
Nice. I have no idea. Maybe he'll attract more people to a sport that never watched it before. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of a sport that people are now into every year, it's become an incredible event that attracts a ton of attention, in large part because of the Oklahoma women's softball team. They actually lost a game at the Women's College World Series, the Sooners did, for the first time in their last 20 matches. This is a pretty big deal. Now, Patty Gasso's club is not eliminated. This is a double elimination tournament. When you get to the Women's College World Series or the World Series for the men that's in Omaha, women play in Oklahoma City. I've covered that venue and that event. I've actually done play-by-play for games at the Women's College World Series. It's really exciting. People get so into it. Anyway, they're not eliminated because it is a double elimination tournament. But yeah, you've got some real competitive teams. And Florida ended up rallying for a 9-3 victory over the Sooners. And this is a largely home crowd, too, because of where they play. They play about 20 miles from the Norman campus. And so, yeah, OU was undefeated in bracket play, and the Gators had already had a loss, so they had no choice. They either would win or they were out. They got shut out by Texas over the weekend. So still, the Sooners are alive. They will battle Florida again on Tuesday, and the winner goes on. The loser goes home. So this is a big deal because the Sooners are chasing a fourth straight Women's College World Series title.
Tough game for us. Florida hit the ball really well today. Credit them for that. We left 10 runners in scoring position, so that's tough when you look at the box scores. I don't think this was our best game by any means, and the beauty of this is that we get another opportunity to make it right.
This team has been in this position before. Even last year, we've been in this position before, so we know how to get out of this. Our first year here at the World Series, we lost the first game and came out of the loser's bracket, so this feeling isn't new to us. So just really going forward, we're not pressing at all. We know exactly how to win ball games. We know exactly what we need to do going forward, so just really looking forward to it, and we're never going to give in. So no matter if it's 0-2 and we're down by 6 runs in the 7th inning, it's never over for us.
So Florida and Oklahoma at the Women's College World Series later on Tuesday. And as I say, Patty Gasso's club, and then you hear Kinzie Hansen talking about the experience. Yeah, I mean, they're chasing a fourth consecutive championship. So certainly they've been in these situations before. But this is a dominant Sooners team. So it is a stunner that they lose at the Women's College World Series for the first time in 21 games. They just have rattled off so many wins and have been the gold standard in the sport for so long that this was an attention grabber. But now you've got Florida and Oklahoma coming up on Tuesday. And then Texas is still alive as well. Stanford, too. So some real good clubs there, and I hope you'll take the chance to watch. It's obviously softball, and it's a lot like baseball in many respects. But softball at the high school and college level for women, it's just a different game, different strategies. The field is smaller. The pitching is way different. Now, it's fast pitch softball, not slow pitch. That's beer league softball. So it's challenging. It's an incredible game, and it's really entertaining. So if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it, especially Patty Gasso's club. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. One more story that I have to share with you because this is amazing. This captured my attention over the weekend, and we just didn't get to it on Sunday night into Monday. Robert McIntyre, he's a 27-year-old first-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's Scottish, and so I love his accent, but that's not why I want you to hear from him. He won his first tour event over the weekend at the Canadian Open with his dad as his caddy. And understandably emotional, the two of them, when he finally won. So again, his first ever PGA Tour win, and his dad was with him every step of the way.
It was incredible. It's everything that I've done in my life has been with the support of my family. The game of golf was kind of passed down the generations from, I mean, I got it from my dad, and luckily he's a head man in Oban, at Glencruton, and we've got a house between where you cross the road for 4 holes over the road at Glencruton, and we used to go out every night in the summer, no matter the weather, we'd play 4 holes every night, and he taught me the game of golf. And then this week when I phoned him to come and caddy for me, to be honest, I was just coming here to play a golf tournament. There was no expectation. There was a lot going on with visas and stuff during the week, and to win it with him in the bag is just To be honest, I still can't believe that it happened.
He goes on to say, it's a dream of mine to play golf for a living. It's been a dream of mine to win on the PGA Tour. I just can't believe I did it with my dad on the bag. His dad, Dougie, he says, this guy's taught me the way I play golf. Yeah, really cool. He was able to hang on. This is just his 45th career start. So it's not like he's been out there for a lot of time. It has more losing than winning. That's the case for most golfers. But he's put in the work, and at 27 years old, this kind of gives him a new lease on life. But the video of him with his dad is amazing. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's really sweet. And you know me, I'm a sucker for the family affairs, the brothers, the sisters, the moms and the dads. I love this stuff. I eat it up. 1 hour to go. Thanks for joining us. Good morning to you on a Tuesday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.